Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here with my wife. Welcome to our Stronger Marriage podcast. On today's podcast, we're going to answer your questions you've asked us in relationship to the law of priority and how it practically applies to our everyday life. We're going to answer some of your questions, including questions from a wife. I'm a mom with little kids who has no energy or time for sex with my husband. What do I do? My husband's mom makes me feel inferior. My wife is a mystery. How do I know what she needs and wants? And my wife hangs out with her mom and friends more than me, and it makes me feel jealous. What do I do? Those questions and more coming in this episode. Let's start with a fun one.
Okay.
And we'll kick it to you.
Okay.
I'm a mom of little kids. Hmm. I want to prioritize my husband, but I'm wiped. Sometimes when he's ready to go, I'm ready for a nap. Is this wrong? What should I do? What did you do when your kids were little? Please help.
Yes. Lots of memories of small kiddos and lots of memories of even having some of these feelings for sure of definitely wanting to prioritize, but also feeling like you are giving all day long. You'd be at work. I'd be home with the kids or at work myself and then home with the kids. So specific, actually applicable, what did I do? I would say we had a great communication tool that sometimes when you were ready to go, as it says here, I would say, can you just give me a minute? Do you remember that? I would say that.
A communication tool?
It was, well, I mean, like that was the sentence I would usually say. Okay. So maybe it's not a tool.
Right.
It was just like, I just need a minute, which communicated lots of things. That's what I mean. It communicated, I'm not saying no. I'm not saying this isn't a good idea.
Right.
I'm not saying that... don't touch me, buddy.
Right.
I'm saying I just need a minute to like take off my mom hat and actually look at my husband and prioritize.
Go wipe the vomit off your shirt.
Or other things and all the whatever. So that was something I did. I practiced as a wife, just knowing that I needed to prioritize you in lots of ways, not just in this way, specifically physically. But sometimes I needed to make sure that I was preparing even before you got home. Mm-hmm. Whether it was talking to the kids about you coming home. I remember doing that when the kids were smaller, even like toddler age, saying, okay, we're getting excited. Dad's coming home. It was like run around and clean up. And we were all kind of helping prepare our home for you to return. And then a lot of times
he's coming
to his castle. And then I would say, you know, okay, when dad gets home, mom's going to talk to dad for a minute. And so I've actually heard some families say that they use their kids have couch time. So, or their parents have couch time. The parents sit on the couch and the kids are supposed to play. So the parents have a moment to prioritize each other when they walk in the door. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we ever did that specifically, but there was creating an anticipation of you coming home and helping our children, like bringing them along.
Yeah.
Like, this is good that mom wants to get ready for dad to come home. This is good. I was showing our kids that I was prioritizing you instead of going, dad's almost home. So just like, go get ready and do these things. Like my attitude was actually really impacting our children.
Yeah.
And was helping my own heart prioritize you to come home.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, just those moments where things are really crazy and something went different that kid or everybody's got the flu. You extended a ton of grace to me to know that I needed to take care of the needs, the practical needs of our children during those times. And so I never felt like you were like, hey woman, why aren't you prioritizing me right now while I'm in the middle of cleaning up puke? Yeah. You were helping, you were doing something else. You were helping with the kid. And there is a give and take that has to happen there to understand, okay, I know that she's in the middle of this practical, really present needs of our children. But I think a lot of it starts with the heart of a wife, how she can make sure that in her mind, which is her most amazing tool in her mind and her heart, how she's speaking to her children about her marriage and about her children and her what husband. Is she about her marriage.
Right.
Yes. And her husband, excuse me, how she's speaking to her children about her husband. Yeah. And how is she then preparing her heart for the fact that she knows her husband's going to come home. I knew you were going to come home and just want a minute to like look into my eyes or something. So I need to be ready for that.
I'm utterly predictable that way.
Yes, you were. So I don't know how helpful that was exactly, except that those are some of the things that I would do for sure, preparing mind and heart to get ready specifically for you to come home.
Yeah. I think too, I mean, people listening, at least for the ladies, they should, to encourage them as a husband, I never felt that I wasn't your priority. And at one point we had you know, four kids under seven, six or seven, a couple in diapers at the same time, mm-hmm. living in an 1,100 square foot home with one bathroom. And we had two children with significant handicaps and mm-hmm. significant needs that required you to be with them mm-hmm. for hours and hours and hours of the day just to take care of medical needs.
Yeah.
And so not only did we have four kids, there were those exceptional and extra needs that our kids had from you. And you never once made me feel like I wasn't a priority. And I think what couples should hear specifically in relationship to this, their sexual relationship, is it was not a one-way street. It wasn't just me taking.
Right.
It was also me serving. It's something that the wife needs as well, to be sexually satisfied and to be mm-hmm. loved on by her husband. And so it wasn't just like, hey, make time for me so I can get my needs met. It was, I want to make time for you to make sure you have your needs met, which means I'm going to step in and I'm going to take initiative to make sure that you have a break and that mm-hmm. you're not always exhausted. And we're going to find someone to take care of our kids mm-hmm. for a few hours so we can get away and you can have dinner and you can just have adult conversation.
Right.
And so the way that you prioritized me in the bedroom was started from the decisions you were making out in the kitchen and living room, and started with how I was loving you as well mm-hmm. outside the bedroom, so that it was a priority that both of us wanted to make.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think there was just a lot of conversation, you know, during that time, as far as we knew we were going into a heavy season, especially with a kid like in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we knew there was going to be really high needs for our children mm-hmm. for that period of time. So we would just talk. I feel like this mm-hmm. was part of agreements too, going back to WeTree stuff. I mean, we would talk through, okay, how are we going to navigate these next couple of weeks? Here's what's going to be going on. And we would just talk it through. We'd make an agreement so we'd kind of know what to expect from the other mm-hmm. over the next however many weeks. Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
there
good.
You go. But it's hard. I know. I get it. But it's possible to prioritize your man, even with little teeny people.
Yeah. And honestly, the sexual relationship is a great barometer to tell yeah. whether or not you're prioritizing your children over your spouse for the woman. Mm-hmm. And that's going to set the internet on fire that we're being misogynistic and men are chauvinist. No, it's God gave the gift of sex to a husband and a wife for both of them
yes.
to enjoy,
yes.
for both of them to reset, mm-hmm. for both of them to have a time that where they can experience a mini vacation mm-hmm. for free,
yeah.
Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God gave both the husband and the wife the gift of sexuality to keep their marriage hot and warm mm-hmm. and intimate and bonded. And so oftentimes it can be the young mom who is feeling the tension of not having the energy for both. And oftentimes we'll hear a mom or a wife of young children use the word, I feel divided.
Yes.
I feel torn. And that's an issue of the mind and heart. You shouldn't feel divided because your allegiance is first to your husband. And so if you're feeling divided, it may not first be a sexuality thing or a physical thing. It might be a mind and heart thing.
Right.
You need to talk through with the Lord and with your husband your conviction regarding the priorities of your marriage and your children. And they're just not the same. And that's not to say that you don't love your children. That's to say you're loving your children by not prioritizing them above your primary relationship with Jesus
yeah.
and then your relationship with your husband. If you allow them either in your heart or just because of the practical demands of life to move above the relationship with you and your husband, you're actually hurting yourself and your husband and your children.
Right.
And so sexuality can actually be, the sexual relationship of a marriage can actually be a really good barometer to know how we're doing here mm-hmm. in relationship to both a husband and a wife's heart towards their children and toward their marriage. And it will, you know, well, moms, young moms, it will not hurt your kids to prioritize your husband over your children. Because if you do, he'll be stronger, you'll be stronger, mm-hmm. and you both will be better parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps the kids.
Yeah.
And so you're never helping the kids by violating God's priorities. And so you got to have that conviction deep in your heart,
yeah.
or you'll let the tyranny of the demands of the moment
right.
Run your life and reorient your priorities, and then you're in a downhill spiral.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you recognize that's where you're at, just ask the Lord for help. Talk to your husband. Say, hey, I think I've screwed up my priorities here. I apologize to you. I need to apologize to our kids. Let's reset.
Yeah.
And then let's get some practical solutions in place so that I'm able to prioritize you in a way that honors God, and you can prioritize me in a way that honors God. And where there's a husband and a wife who are committed to outserving the other, it's going to be a good thing for them and the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's a great teaching moment for your children. If you're having to circle back and apologize, especially if your kids are old enough to understand that,
yeah,
it'll be something that they won't forget.
Yeah. It's perfectly allowable and fine, and actually probably part of good discipleship to teach your children that they aren't your first priority.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that has to be a part of the conversation. And it can be funny, and it doesn't have to be negative, but just in how I would talk about the kids and how I would protect you and defend you. And our kids knew very early on, I was not going to take their side over yours.
Right.
You're my wife. We're a team. They can't come between us.
United front.
and so sometimes kids are unintentionally coming between you and your spouse just because of the time they demand. Mm-hmm. But as they get older and more sophisticated in emotional relational warfare, they can actually intentionally try to come between a husband and wife and pit the one against the other and go to one to ask for this and go to the other to ask for this, knowing the weaknesses and proclivities of the individual mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And so parents have to be aware of that. And the children need to know that if they attempt to play games and get between mom and dad, there will be hell to pay. I mean, dad's coming and hell's coming with him kind of thing is how our kids have heard it described to them. So we don't play games with mom and dad's unity.
Right.
We don't play games with mom and dad's oneness. We don't play games with mom and dad's agreements. Mom and dad are a team. And the kids, our kids grew up seeing that as a good thing.
Right.
And then I think they had a holy sense of a right fear that they would come between that. And we've sat our kids down. Family meeting time, here's the deal. Mom and dad are not your servants. Mom and dad are not your short order cooks.
Right.
You're asking mom to do things that she doesn't need to do for you because you can do them for yourself. You're being selfish. You're being, you know, unhelpful. And then we just talk through our agreements and our convictions about our marriage so they understand where they fit on the org chart.
Right.
And it's Jesus, and then it's our marriage, and then it's our children.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think they feel loved when we do that because they feel safe, that they're not on the place of ultimate preeminence in our life.
Right.
And although a selfish child might want to be idolized, they don't realize what they're asking for.
Yeah.
They're asking to be worshiped in a way that will actually cause them to be bitter toward their parents later. So it's worth fighting for to keep the priorities straight. And the sexual relationship can be a great place to just kind of take the temperature of where you're at with your kids.
Yeah. Next one. Thanks for the first one. Okay. My husband's mom constantly makes me feel inferior. I don't think that's her intent, but it's the net result in my heart. My husband doesn't seem to see a problem. Am I being too nitpicky?
No, your husband's clueless. One of the ways that you can know if the law of priority is being violated is jealousy. If there's jealousy in the heart of the husband or the wife, that means they're feeling misprioritized. And that feeling is a legitimate feeling. Mm-hmm. And for a husband to blow it off and say, yeah, that's not true. Well, that's just a clueless husband who's not taking into consideration the frame of his wife because her experience is her reality. Mm-hmm. And so no, it's not being nitpicky. And you should have an open conversation with your husband. And if your husband's listening, well, you should tell him to listen to this podcast and then I'll talk to him. Hey, Bozo the Clown, you're out of line biblically. You were told by Moses in Genesis and Jesus in Matthew and Paul in Ephesians to leave your mother and to cleave to your spouse and to be united with her for life. And so that means there are now a new set of relational priorities in your life. And if your mom has pressured you, that's her fault. If you have caved to those pressures, that is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not asking you to be mean to your mom. I am asking you to love her by helping her get her own priorities straight. There's a good chance that her marriage is not healthy with your dad. And so the needs that she should have been met by her husband aren't being met, or by Christ. And so she's looking to you to have those needs met, and you got to stop being her idol, and you got to stop being okay with her making your wife feel intimidated, no matter how nice she appears to be or mm-hmm. how much she's trying to help. Maybe she's aware of it. Maybe she's not. It doesn't matter. It's your job to lovingly say, hey, mom, I love you and we're so grateful for you. We're going to need to draw some new relational boundaries for the sake of the health of our marriage.
Yeah.
And then if she hears that and says, oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. I didn't intend to do that. And whatever you say, then you know she's godly and what she was doing wasn't intentional and she wants to help. If you draw, if you, in a kind and clear way, you sit down with your spouse and you say, okay, so let me start over. I'm going to give you the action steps, dude, out there for this question.
There we go.
Sit down with your wife and say, what are ways in which you feel our relationship is being violated by my mom?
There you go.
What are things that she does that make you feel jealous? What are ways I haven't acted that have violated your sense of safety because I've been protecting you? Mm-hmm. What would it take for you to feel prioritized by me over my mom? And then you listen to your wife. And if there are some things that are maybe inaccurate or unreasonable, or she has ungrounded fears, then you speak to that and you assure her of your love for her. Mm-hmm. But if there are things that are legitimate, and again, she kind of gets to set the boundaries on what's legitimate here because her feelings are her reality. And you say, okay, well, what would it take for that to be resolved? And then she's going to give you some of her input. And then you're together, you're going to build an agreement for how your relational boundaries are going to be reset.
Yeah.
And new relational habits are going to be implemented. And then you go to your mom. You don't make your wife talk to your mom.
Right.
That's your conversation.
That's very key.
You go to your mom and you say, hey, mom, love you. Actually, I might consider going to your dad first. Hmm. Say, hey, dad, here's the deal. Man to man, this is how mom's making my wife feel. And I haven't stepped up. I apologize. Here's the new relational boundaries that we need to set. Can you help me out here?
There you go.
And a good dad will be like, son, I got it. My bad. I messed up there. I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if this husband's dad's a stronger man, his dad will take care of the issue and you're good to go.
Right.
If this dad's like, well, I don't think that's really my job to tell your mom how to be a mom. And if he goes down the whole weak sauce lane,
right.
then your dad's a clown and you got to go around him. So you go, okay, dad, well, I'm going to meet with you and mom then. And you sit down with your dad and your mom and you say, mom, here's the deal. I am so grateful for how you raised me. I'm so grateful for who you are. I'm so grateful that you helped me become the man I am, to help me find the woman who I found. And we are working really hard at building a stronger marriage.
Right.
And so we are identifying some new relational boundaries we're needing to put in place so we can prioritize our marriage and we can have a strong marriage so that you can have a son and a daughter-in-law who are still married in 15 years with grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So here's kind of the new rules of engagement. Is this something you would be willing to support and help us with? And if the mom says, absolutely, this is outstanding, I'm proud of you, son, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
If she says, well, that seems kind of whatever, then your job is to hold the line.
Yes.
It's not your job to negotiate with your mom. Mm-hmm. It's not your job to please your mom and your wife. You have a singular loyalty to Jesus and you have a singular loyalty to your spouse. That's it.
Yep.
And so you honor your mom by giving her clear parameters that she can work within that are reasonable and good. And then you honor her by not participating in her dysfunction.
Right.
If you allow her to continue to be controlling and smothering and manipulative and emotionally manipulative to your spouse or to your marriage, you're actually participating in her dysfunction and you're perpetuating it.
Right.
So now it's your fault. God, it may be that God has put you in her life to be a means of grace by which she sees some of her own unhealth.
Right.
And then that helps her go back to the Lord, go back to her husband and get right herself so that she doesn't continue down this unhelpful, enmeshed, dysfunctional road.
Yeah.
But either way, husbands, it's your job to make sure your wife feels protected from your mother. Because here's the thing, if she feels violated by your mother emotionally, relationally, she's not going to be open to a relationship with her. So you're actually guaranteeing that you're going to have a feuding relationship and an unhealthy, dysfunctional family system for a long time. So the only chance at health you have is to be healthy yourself as a marriage and pray that the Lord uses that health to work back up the family tree.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, that's not on you. Your commitment is to make sure you are modeling health for your children mm-hmm. and for your parents. Mm-hmm. And you pray the Lord can use that to bring health into their life.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Pastor Josh here. Wanted to let you know about a couple cool things we got going on here at Stronger Man Nation for our listening audience. The first is a devotional resource my wife and I wrote called 30 Days to a Stronger Marriage. You can go to StrongerManNation.com to get that free resource that we would love to send to you and get in your hands. The second is a giveaway experience we want to give to a father and son, an all-expense-paid weekend. That's right. We want to bring you and your boy to our Stronger Man Nation conference this Father's Day, June 14th and 15th. No matter where you live or listen from, we'll pay for your plane tickets or train tickets or boat tickets or whatever it takes to get you here. And we'll stick you up in a hotel. We'll make sure you get great front row seats at the conference, throw in an outstanding swag bag of Stronger Man Nation swag, and even get you a backstage pass to meet some of our incredible speakers. Go to StrongerManNation.com to sign up to enter to win this free giveaway, and we'll see you there.
Next up.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
I want to prioritize my wife, but I'm not sure how. Women are a mystery. What should I do?
Okay.
I love it.
This is from a husband. Women are
yep.
a mystery.
Sounds like, yep.
Well, bro, demystify the woman and talk to her. Mm-hmm. So women are only a mystery to men who don't ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Women
and
are
don't listen.
And don't listen. Women are only a mystery to men who aren't paying attention. And women are only a mystery to men who have lost a sense of wonder and curiosity in exploring the depth of his wife's potential and the depth of his wife's womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say is demystify the mystery. Sit her down and say, I want to love you. I want to prioritize you. I'm not always sure I know how. Would you help me?
Yep.
What are things I do to make you feel loved and prioritized? And then be prepared to have an amazing conversation. Write down what she's saying. So for instance, you and I, when we were in our younger married years, I went to you and I said, hey, and it wasn't like, first of all, don't do this in the middle of a war. Well, what do you want me to do? That's
right.
Never going to be helpful.
No,
you know,
it's no.
like, well, I'm trying. I go to work and I work hard. I bought you a car and you got right. nice clothes and
right.
food in the pantry. My gosh, what more do you want?
Right.
Bro, totally missing it. Okay. So she wants a lot more than that. And,
mm-hmm.
and in some ways, maybe a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, do I feel like I prioritize you? It's, do you feel prioritized by me?
Right.
And so I think I, you know, set up a time for us to go out, either get away for a weekend or go out on a date. And I would just ask you, the question I asked was, what are things that I do that make you feel loved?
Yes.
That was my question. Not, yep. not here's how I prove my love for you. What are things that I do that make you feel mm-hmm. loved? And the feel word is the key there, because it doesn't count if she thinks you love her. I think he loves me. I mean, he told me at our wedding he loved me.
Right.
And he hasn't said that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than, no, I feel prioritized. And I've told you my commitment to you. I've told our kids,
yep.
your mom, any time of the day, week, month, or year will be a woman who feels loved and prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
That's my commitment. There is no day. And that doesn't mean that we're not busy.
Right.
And we don't have a lot to, we have, you know, I think we have several irons in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot going on. And that doesn't mean that you don't feel prioritized by me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask you, what are things I do that make you feel loved? And the list you gave me shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down, I was like, well, first of all, I was like, well, that's easy.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Uh-huh.
And the second thought I had was like, I would have never said that.
Right.
And oftentimes husbands think the list is going to be hard. If you climb Mount Everest in your bare feet, then I know you love me. It's like,
right.
that's not what a wife is going to say.
No.
Oftentimes her answer is going to be like, when you take 5 minutes and listen to me genuinely
mm-hmm.
and ask a question based on what you heard me say, I feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mount Everest in your bare feet.
Right.
Taking 5 minutes, bro, put your dang phone down, stop mm-hmm. playing the video games and stop talking to your buddies or texting or swiping
or
social media
at sports, or looking
or
at
watching
this,
sports
or
playing fantasy football. Like, take 5 minutes to be a normal human being, look into the eyes of your wife and
yep.
ask, like, how you doing, babe? How was your day? And then listen.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, this is a list you gave me. When you listen to my day,
yep.
even though I know it might not interest you and
yep.
you act interested and you ask me questions, it makes me feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
You said, when you exercise and eat well and take care of your body, it makes me feel like you want, because I'm not an exercise fiend. I'm no physical specimen, and I love carbs and donuts. And so I'm not like, I don't idolize physical fitness. So when I participate in physical fitness, I said, like, I want to be healthy so I can protect you and put up a good fight if necessary and be here for as long as possible, because my goal is to walk you into the arms of Jesus, and then I want to die the next day.
Right.
I don't want to die early because I didn't take care of my body, and then you're on your own.
Right.
Now,
right.
We trust the providence of God, and you can't help people run in red lights. But as long as it depends on me, I want to be here as long as I can to take care of you.
Right.
Because that's my priority.
Nice.
So it was, when you listen to me,
yes,
I feel loved. When you take care of yourself, I feel loved. You remember what the other ones were?
Well, I was going to say, the funny thing about with the whole mystery thing, guess what? Sometimes they change.
Yes.
So just for the bro, like, don't write it down like when you're into your marriage and be like, I got it. Like,
10
this
years
is,
ago, you said
this. You said this, babe, like, and try and hold her to some staring. Like, there's an ongoing conversation.
Okay.
Like, we circle back to this question.
Are you saying this? Has yours changed?
Maybe we should chat offline. No, I'm just I'm just saying that I think I felt prioritized and loved differently when we were newly married, no kids, working full time.
Yes.
I was working nights. You were working days. We were like this.
Yeah.
We didn't see each other ever.
Yeah.
And then it changed when we had kids, and then it changed now that our kids are older. I mean, there's just been different seasons where we've had to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
So to the dude that wants to learn about his wife, here's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Women are complex, which is another word for mystery, maybe.
Yeah. Very much so.
You think? Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's true. Sometimes things will change.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
good.
Just be attentive to that.
Yeah.
And maybe be like, oh, babe.
Here's the thing. That's what keeps husbands on their toes.
Totally.
If she was just like this one-dimensional papier-mâché,
brutal,
you know, sex doll, it'd be like, well, this is easy. But she's complex. She's growing. She's changing.
Yeah.
So that keeps you on your toes. And so a husband needs to cultivate fascination with his wife.
Yep.
A husband needs to cultivate a sense of discernment and paying attention to reading the heart of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay for the rules of the game to change as seasons of life change.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
what you're saying.
Yeah.
So has your list changed?
No. Well, I don't know. I have to think about it. I haven't thought about it in a while. And I would also—
Do you feel loved by me?
I absolutely do. We've already talked. Yes,
so
absolutely.
What do I do right now that makes you feel loved?
Well, before I forget my thought, I'll come back to that. Vice versa. Like, women, do this to your men. You may think you know what makes your husband feel prioritized.
Yeah.
But it was similar for me in the things that you said to me, which we've made a funny joke about it. But one of the ways that you felt prioritized and loved was when I had a hot meal on the table when you got home.
Yep.
And I was like, dang, can you pick something else? Like, that was hard for me. And not easy.
Sex three times a day, anything
like,
but me fixing a hot meal.
Something else than the regularity of dinner. And so that was a hard one for me. But
what a chauvinist.
What, totally. So I'm saying vice versa. This goes for the women too. Don't just have him take your list down and be like, got it, babe. Great. Just go do your best. You know, and like, don't forget, you're supposed to do the
good
same
luck.
Thing.
If it changes, I won't tell you. You'll have to ask.
You'll have to figure it out. So don't be like that. That's not okay. So it should go both ways. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
On that point you're saying is like, it's fair. It's not fair if your list changes and you know it and you don't tell him.
Yeah. And it's not fair to have this list and hold it to them, hold it over their head
like
something.
This isn't a game of guess what's in my head.
No.
You know, it's like, hey, you know what? One of the things you do that makes me feel loved is this. So thank you for when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And I feel like I try to do that sometimes. Like, I'll even text you. Hey, thank you so much today for taking the time to talk to our son about this thing that's been really hard for him.
Yes.
I felt like I didn't know what to say. And you came home and you stepped right into it and you took... took the lead, and I felt very loved when you did that because I knew that you could see that I was kind of drowning and you stepped right in. So, I mean, sometimes I just text you like, hey, you did this. Yep. I loved this.
No mystery.
Thank you. Ta-da!
I can put this text in neon sign if you'd like.
Yes.
But I love when you do this. Yeah, you're very good at that. Mm-hmm. You affirm me when I love you and prioritize you. And that helps me as a husband. First of all, I'm like, heck yeah, I'll be the man.
Right.
I'll play the man. I love this. My girl's digging it. I love it. My girl's digging it. I want to be the man. I want to be your man.
Yeah. And it calls out something in my husband when I'm praising and I'm encouraging. It's like parenting. You're praising good actions.
Yep.
It's similar in a relationship.
Yep.
Like, it should go both ways of, babe, I love it when you do this. It's back and forth.
Yep.
It keeps the oneness. It keeps, I mean, it's just part of that communication. Yeah. It's easy nowadays. You got a phone. Just text the man and tell him, hey, on your way out the door this morning, taking 2 seconds to kiss me before you left really made me feel prioritized. Thanks. I love you. Have a great day. That will fill the tank of your man for a long time that day. I mean, be prepared when he comes home because he's probably excited. But just saying, like, it's, there are ways, simple ways, I think, that you can do this even if you don't have a chance to go on a big date and write down a list of 10 things.
And the same for the husband. It's like, I've,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Like, that dinner was so awesome. Thanks so much. I've texted you the same thing. Like, I can't, it's just crazy. But man, when I come home and smell dinner, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
The dragons were slain. The castle is secure. I'm home.
Yes.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
And those
and
are
that's
things,
specific to you.
Yep.
It's not every dude, and that's okay.
I think that might be almost every guy out there.
I don't know.
I mean, our list isn't long. You know what I mean? It's
like,
can we take care of our sexual needs? Can we have a good meal on the table? Like,
there's
good.
No question here from a wife saying, my husband is so complex. You know,
totally.
The one is from a dude.
Questions
you know?
Here. Not a single chick saying, my guy is so complex. We're simple, man.
Yeah.
We're trucks.
That's right.
We run pretty simple. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
My wife is constantly on the phone with her mom's sister's girlfriends. Hmm. They have a girl world complete with inside jokes and whispered conversations that makes me feel totally out of the loop. To be honest, it makes me feel a little angry. Am I being unreasonable? I'm not trying to cut my wife off from her friends. I just like to be included sometimes. What should I do?
Oh, shoot. Well, going back a little bit to what we just finished talking about, it's not just the husband that needs to ask his wife, what do I do that makes you feel loved?
Yeah.
It should be the wife speaking to the husband. This would be a great opportunity of a time for the man to go, actually, babe, I really like that you have a great relationship with your mom and your sister or whatever. But when you spend more time on the phone with them, when you're on the phone, when I walk in the door, laughing in the corner, talking to your mom or whatever, and I come in and I say, hey, babe, and you're like, you give me a wave or you don't talk to me, I don't feel prioritized.
Right.
So I'm so sorry for this husband. Speak up.
Yeah.
Speak to your wife. And if she's getting, well, pray ahead of time that her heart would be tender to this, because this is a habit that's not healthy for your marriage. This will not reap benefits of any sort of oneness and unity long term, because there's something in between you.
Yeah.
There is something that's been allowed to take priority because it's being shown by her desire to spend more time doing something else, talking to other people than she would to you. Now, check your heart. Make sure you're not hard to talk to.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you don't check out when she tries to talk to you.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not distracted and you're not giving opportunity for her to talk to you.
Examine yourself to see if the reason she's going to someone else to meet her needs is because you're not meeting them.
You got to start there.
Yep, that's good.
For sure.
Now, talk to the chick.
But for the young lady, you missed a step.
Yeah.
When you got married, you missed the leave part.
Yeah.
And the cleave part, actually.
Yeah.
Because
shots fired.
Guess what? Your mom doesn't need to know everything that's going on in your day.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, but she doesn't. Yeah. That will not help
you. Why don't you just say that part again?
Your mom does not need to know every single thing that goes on in your day.
Just
a repeat.
On,
I feel like that's a short clip. Yeah. As well, I love that you have some camaraderie. Maybe you're really close, but once that starts to put a wedge between you and your husband, it has got to go.
Yeah.
And so maybe that means you put a hard line on, hey, you know what, mom? I mean, it's very similar to a guy having to step in and say his mom is getting into people's business. Well, now it's your turn, dear. Like, you need to step up and say, mom, actually, the amount of time I spend on the phone with you and the constant conversations I have with you is keeping me from my number one priority, which is my husband and our home.
Yeah.
Because if he's noticing that you're constantly on the phone, constantly feels a little like she's ignoring some duties of around her house. Maybe she's not paying attention to things that would help him feel like his needs are being met. Yeah. So it's obviously an issue for this man. So she needs to pay attention and she needs to notice, I have this incredible man in front of me. I hope you have this incredible man in front of you that I should be paying attention to first. Mom, I love you. We're going to set up. I can call you once a week. And then you talk to your husband. Does that sound okay, babe?
Yeah.
I think I'll call her once a week and we'll just chat and catch up. I just think it's, I think it's a skewed priority.
Yeah. Here's the thing too, is like, is, as a husband, I don't want you to, it's like, it's the same thing with sex. It's like, okay, look, we'll have sex every day. Will that make you happy? Well, no.
Right.
If you're just doing it to do it, then I don't want to do it either. Like that's weird. I want you to want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the wife is setting boundaries on her husband while she's rolling her eyes, like that's not cool either. That's going to, she needs to get her heart in place. She's like, whoa, I have allowed my mom to supplant my husband. This is not good. I don't want that.
Right.
I want, and so she's like, and she may say, well, you don't know my husband. Well, sweetheart, you may be a part of shaping who your husband's become.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where a husband and wife need to take priority. Like when they get married, they become one, whether they like it or not. That's a work. A marriage is a work that God supernaturally brings about so that a husband and wife become one. It's made by God. It's consummated with the act of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take more responsibility for who our spouse has become.
Mm-hmm.
And if your wife is jaded and bitter and a gossip and a busybody and distracted and overly committed and lazy or indifferent or whatever she is, bro, that's on you.
Mm.
And if your husband is, list all the things that a husband can be, indifferent, clueless,
lazy, airhead, not taking leadership.
It's like the wife who's always griping about her husband, and he's like, man, I can't get a word in edgewise around here. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you stop criticizing him and stop and start affirming the work of God in his life, that might change. And it's now the internet will go crazy. Oh, you're blaming the women. Well, women need to take responsibility just as much as the men.
Just as much as
men.
And
it's actually insulting, I believe, to women when they don't take responsibility.
Mm.
We look at the biblical story. Eve brought this fruit,
indeed,
this forbidden fruit to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we will say that the man failed in leading and protecting his wife, and then he abdicated his responsibility by caving to her sinful inclinations, but Eve is still responsible.
Mm.
And then the curse upon Eve is your line of women will want to usurp. You'll have a desire for your husband. That wasn't a sexual desire. It was, I want to be in charge.
Right.
And so I think women need to hear that they need to be treated with the dignity that says you have a significant amount of power and influence in your marriage.
Yes.
You should not underestimate how much influence you can have over your marriage, over your husband, and you should exert the power that God's given you with as much might as he gives you to work for the flourishing of your marriage and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I have appreciated, sweetheart, if I could just honor you, I've appreciated, I have never felt competed with. I've never felt had a twinge of jealousy.
Mm.
I've never felt like, you know, you're going to go out on the girls' night. And this has been very helpful. You don't do the girls' night thing. You don't do the little black dress party thing. You you have a few close girlfriends that I enjoy and appreciate.
Yep.
But we've talked about our friends. And it's like you had friendships that changed once we got married. Because they got married and I didn't get along with the dude and their marriage wasn't something I wanted to emulate. And so I didn't want them influencing you or dragging you down. And you agreed with that. So once you get married, you have to reevaluate your friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendships change season multiple times from single to married. And then from married to having children, your friend group actually gets even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were single, we had a ton of friends. And then we got married and we realized, gosh, there's a smaller pool to draw from of couples who have the same priorities
kind of
that we have.
Like-mindedness.
Yeah, yeah. They have a like-mindedness of vision, and it's just hard to hang around them because we don't prioritize the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pool of friends gets even smaller when you have kids, and you realize, my gosh, we are wildly different how we raise our kids, and we need to be with like-minded people so we can stay strong in our convictions. And so, if a wife is regularly making friends with women that the husband doesn't feel makes her a stronger wife towards him, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So when we got married, I was very grateful for you acknowledging, you know what, I've had these friendships, but we're not in the same place now. That's going to change.
Yeah.
And then the friends that we did have, I signed off on for you, and you
and
signed off on
versa.
For me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say we had to be very legalistic about that because neither of us wanted to hang out with friends that worked against our marriage. There have been times where you've told me, he makes me nervous. I don't like that guy. And I'm like, I love him. He's awesome. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, there's just something about him. And I've learned not to ignore that. I learned to be like, God's given my wife a significant relational and emotional intuition that is higher than mine.
Mm.
My wife has a measure of discernment that God has given her.
Mm.
And I should not be in a friendship with a man that makes my wife nervous.
Mm.
And so I have distanced myself from some of those men.
Mm.
And I've listened to your counsel, and pretty much every time you're right.
Mm.
And I'm like, my gosh, I'm glad I'm not still in a close relationship with that guy when he blows his life up.
Right.
And so husbands need to listen to their wives, and wives need to listen to their husbands, because husbands can pick up on unhealth in girls, the immaturity that he doesn't want rubbing off on his wife. That's very reasonable for him to say, babe, I think we should talk about this person's influence on your life. And that's not being chauvinistic. That's not being misogynistic. That's not being heavy-handed. That's being a good leader. Mm-hmm. And a wife needs to, now that's not, that's very different from, because I can just hear the internet now, a husband controlling who his wife
talks
to.
That's not
what I'm saying.
No.
But I am saying you don't have friendships apart from our relationship.
Yeah, no.
You don't have friends like, well, she's my friend. I'm going to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Right.
That's not how we work. And so we prioritize the marriage.
Yes.
And then I submit to you, hey, what about these guys? You submit to me. Hey, what about these ladies? Mm-hmm. And so that's something we did early on. We don't do that anymore because it's just intuitive.
Right.
That's an agreement we've had for 23 years.
Right.
That we're not going to bring relationships into our marriage that the other one is uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So
which feels a little like this could be too. I mean, this husband maybe is like, babe, this what you're doing isn't strengthening our marriage.
Yeah.
The amount of time you're spending here, the conversations you're having, the inside jokes, the whatever conversations that are constant. I would assume that's happening like when he's there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, figure it out. Yeah. Call your mom when it's not going to interrupt. You've got to make a plan.
Yeah. So if a husband's feeling threatened, here's what I tell him to do. Sit down and say, babe, this may be unreasonable and you may think it's funny, but I'm just going to be vulnerable for a moment here.
Right.
I feel threatened by your relationship with these girls, and I feel threatened by your relationship with your mom. And that may be petty and that may be a shot at my masculinity, but I feel threatened because I feel like you enjoy them more than me or that you'd rather talk to them than me. Now, maybe I've been a part of causing that.
Right.
And if I have, I want to know what I'm doing so I can change because I want you to want to call me first.
Right.
And I want you to want to hang out with me first. Mm-hmm. And if you have needs that I'm not meeting, I want to know about that so I can step into that and love you.
Right.
And I apologize if there are needs that you have that I've ignored or missed that have caused you to need to go to these other places.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, I'm stepping back into the game.
Yeah.
And I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And then just share with her vulnerably how that makes you feel and ask her if she sees that and if she agrees with that and if she's willing to talk through making some adjustments and changes.
Yeah.
And if she's wise, she will, because she's not going to live with her mom the rest of her life or her friends the rest of her life. She's called to live with her husband the rest of her life in a unique kind of relationship that supplants all other relationships and that makes loyalty to all other friendships look as hatred. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd encourage a husband to do.
Yep. I totally agree. And I don't want anybody to hear me say that I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
and that a girl shouldn't have any friends or shouldn't have a conversation with her mom. This is all about figuring out where your priority is and the fact that this is not communicating to your husband that he is the priority. Do I have friends? Absolutely. Do I talk to him on the phone? Yes, I do. Do I talk to my mother on the phone? I do. But it is all within this healthy and measured interaction so that you are the priority.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I just want to make that clear. Like, it's not like, when we talked to anybody else.
We had conversations early on. It was, there were some unique dynamics that made you leaving your family more challenging.
Sure.
Emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, these kind of things.
Yeah.
And so there were boundaries and parameters that we put on our relationship early on that we don't have now.
Yes.
One was like, I'm not going to have conversations with my parents by myself because I don't trust myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too emotionally vulnerable. I'm learning how to be a healthy individual first.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so we made agreements early on to be like, I'm just not going to talk to him alone because I don't trust myself right now. But then as we've grown, I don't even care anymore because you're so clear on who you are as a woman and you've proven such integrity in our agreements that like, I don't feel betrayed if you're on the phone with your mom or dad or I don't even care because you know who you are.
Right.
And that's not going to be confusing to you anymore.
Right.
But you recognize that in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the friends you have are exceptionally life-giving women. Exceptionally life-giving. And one of the ways they're life-giving is they have a similar ruthless commitment to prioritizing their husbands.
That's right.
And that's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. If you have friends that don't have that same value and commitment, that could be a problem because they're going to ask you to do things that would violate your law of priority that they don't have function in their life.
Right.
It's like, men, they're fine. They'll be fine. Let's go, ladies. It's like, well, that's actually not how I view marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the women you have in your life, I mean, we could list them. They're incredible. They're godly. They're humble. They're wise. They're strong. They're competent. They're biblical. And they have healthy, flourishing marriages, and they actually encourage and affirm in you what you want to live out with us.
Which is huge for friends.
Yeah.
So like, your friends go, you go.
So when that happens, then like, I'm actually like, hey, go so-and-so. Hey, go out with so-and-so. Hey, I'll take care of the kids. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm like, I'm actually pushing you to be with your friends more as you are with me because we have practiced prioritizing this relationship so that the other wants us to have those friends because we also know that those friends are affirming in the other the value that will make our marriage strong.
Yeah.
So man, you get good friends and it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good.
All right.
That's a good one.
Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast, review, follow, and share to help keep unwoke, uncensored, straight talk Bible teaching coming to you for free.